Redeemer and sustainer of our lives. Amen. We have had a whole slew of parables. I mean, that gospel text was five parables all right there. And it comes in this whole stretch of parables that we've been having for the last couple of weeks, right? Which started with the profligate seed grower, which is God, who is willing to sow seed on paths where it's going to get trampled and eaten by birds or on rocky ground. But God throws and Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. God throws seed wherever in the hope that it might grow. Last week, there was the parable of the wheat, what they call the wheat and the tares, which is the wheat and the weeds are really wheat and darnel, which is a rye grass that grows in the Middle East that looks like wheat. And the story was, you know, the king, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a sower who goes out and like a master who goes out and sows a field. And in the middle of the night, someone comes in and sows weeds in, or sows the darnel in amongst it. And then as the field grows gradually, both the servants of the master notice, look, there's both wheat and darnel growing side by side. Do you want us to go in there and weed it out and take it out? And they're kind of astonished that, you know, the master sowed the field. And first of all, that the master sowed the field by himself, right? He didn't have his servants do it. He sowed the field. And he says, no, let them grow together. Let the weeds and the wheat grow together. Because I don't want to hurt the wheat. I don't want to hurt the possibility of there being wheat. He says, we'll sort it out at the end of the age. And then we have these three parables. We have this slew of parables today. And actually, the first two are associated with that other one. The first two was, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. He says it's the smallest of the seeds, and yet it grows up to be this great big shrub or this great big tree, so the birds of the air can nest in it. The problem is that a mustard seed is not the smallest of seeds, nor does it grow into be the greatest of bushes, right? So we intend to interpret this parable in terms of size, as if somehow the kingdom of heaven starts small and then it grows big. Really, mustard plants are just very tenacious, and they establish and they take a hold of a root and they grow into this large bush. But the point is that out of something small grows something that's persistent. I mean, the best analogy is like the kingdom of heaven is like the Himalayan huckleberry. It starts out as a really small seed, and yet it grows into this very persistent, tenacious thing that just takes over. Because then he says the next parable is the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who hides yeast in three measures of flour. Like, she's hiding yeast in three measures of flour. We don't know how much, I mean, a measure, actually, what the word that's used there in the Greek indicates, this is about 50 pounds of flour. That's a lot of flour, right? And what is she doing hiding yeast, right? She's hiding yeast in 50 pounds of flour, and especially yeast. In the ancient world, yeast, I mean, the Jews had a lot of ambivalence about yeast. They're very clear that some things are clean and other things are unclean. Yeast was one of those unclean things because it did weird things. And it made weird things happen in bread. And so, you know, when they had unleavened bread, the reason why we have unleavened bread in communion is because it doesn't have yeast in it. None of that yeasty unrighteousness from a Jewish perspective. So what is she doing planting yeast? What does it mean that Jesus is comparing the kingdom of heaven to yeast in all of this flour? And he says the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure in a field. And so he runs out and he buys the field, and so that way he can have the treasure, which is, okay, well, why didn't he just take the treasure to begin with? Or, you know, I mean, it leaves you wondering, but it's more about, like, he goes through this whole process. Like, he finds something so that he can, he has to go through this whole process to get a hold of. And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who sells fine pearls. He spends his whole life looking at pearls. He spends his whole life looking at jewels. And yet he finally finds one that makes his heart sing. And he gives all he has to buy that one pearl. But Jesus is like, all of these parables are thrown together in this section of Matthew to teach us about the kingdom of heaven and to make us wonder and ponder about the kingdom of heaven. And so,
And it, I mean, so I've been thinking about this all this last week. And last night, I went to go see the Celebration of Light down on English Bay. Because I love fireworks. And I've heard about the Celebration of Light for years now. And so, like, I'm quite excited. Japan was doing the lights last night. And like a man in search of a treasure of a, you know, in a fine field, I, you know, took the SkyTrain early to, so I could get out there, and I got out to English Bay around 7 o'clock and found a nice little spot right across from the platform, actually, where they were launching the fireworks from. I couldn't believe that I could get that close, but there I was. And of course, it's a lovely summer evening. And there are hundreds of thousands of people that are, you gradually watch them coming together, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I sat there, and gradually you watch the sun begins to descend in the sky. And you've got Victoria Island, you've got the water that's just glinting, and there's all these ships and boats that are out on the water, and you can see, you know, the mountains of North Vancouver, and then Vancouver Island, and then, you know, the Kitsilano Peninsula. And it's just stunning. And there's a quarter moon in the sky, and there are clouds. Just enough wisps of clouds that it is a stunning sunset. It's one of the most stunning sunsets I've ever seen. Like, as you're out there in the water. And there are hundreds of thousands of us that are all gathered on this beach to witness this sunset. And some of us are, you know, taking snapshots on our cell phones, and we're vaguely aware of the sunset. But we're not there to see stunning sunsets on English Bay, right? We're used to stunning sunsets on English Bay. We're there to see these fireworks. So we wait till that's over because we're anticipating the fireworks, and you know, and then they queue up and they're done to music. They're timed to this music, and it was a great show. It was a stunning show, right? Left me with tears. I mean, the end just left me with tears in the eyes because it was just beautiful. And then it stops, and you turn it again to see the moon in the sky and the stars in the sky over the water, and still a reflection of light in the water. We all made our way back, you know, through the streets, and they'd shut down traffic, and so we just all take, and we're all making a beeline for the Burrard, you know, SkyTrain station, all 300,000 of us. I was like, I gotta preach tomorrow morning. I gotta get on that train. But I wonder if that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like the stunning sunset on English Bay that happens all around us. We're kind of aware of it. We're kind of paying attention to it. We're really there to see the fireworks, right? Which, you know, are lovely, but you know, it struck me as a metaphor. Because the biblical writers, like this, all of these folks are saying the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. The kingdom of heaven is right there, and you have eyes to see it. That's why Jesus speaks in parables. He's trying to get us to think about it in different sorts of ways. Paul, in today's Romans reading, is saying nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Which is another way of saying nothing can separate us from the kingdom of heaven. Famine, hardship, persecution, sword. He lists all these things. And I was thinking, you know, I was out there last night, and I'm like, I mean, we don't suffer famine, and we don't suffer persecution, and we don't suffer the sword. Those things don't make sense to us. What are our lives like? We have these luxuriant, wealthy lives where we have these amazing distractions like fireworks, right? We have, you know, these things to occupy us, and we have these what are astonishing in the realm of human history. Smartphones and tablets are just astonishing creations, right? We've got those to distract us. We've got these very comfortable lives. And I was thinking, you know, even those can't separate us from the love of God. Our smartphones can't separate us from the love of God, right? Our comfortable lives can't separate us from the love of God. You know, our distractions can't separate us from the love of God. It's there all around us. It's within God that we live and move and have our being. And we don't always pay attention to it. And we're not always aware of it. But Jesus is trying to say it's there. The kingdom of heaven is there. Amen.